Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It is hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday, a return Friday, back in the home studios after being in Charlotte, North Carolina with the Atlantic Coast Conference, of course, over in Hoover, Alabama, for the Southeastern Conference Media Days and the big story, the rumor, the news, whatever breaks just over a day ago. And I got to tell you, folks, you know, everybody, correctly so, talking about cash, you know, they're after the payoff. That's why OU and Texas won in. That, well, that does happen when you join the SEC, but they're already banking money. Now, they'll make even more. But the reasons OU and Texas and nearly any other program won in the SEC go far beyond just cash. Have we thought about this? Have we been paying enough attention? Texas A&M is performing better in the SEC than the Aggies did in the Big 12. And far better than Texas has been performing in the Big 12 over that same time. These two programs, they started playing in 1893 and 1894. Until about 2010, the Aggies were never within shouting distance of Texas. And I'm saying on-field, general relevancy in the game. Let me ask you a question. Other than, hey, who did the Aggies, who did the Longhorns hire as their new coach? Other than that, when's the last time you really paid attention to Texas football with some intrigue and expectation? When's the last time you looked at Texas A&M football as a fan of someone who, other than the Aggies? You know what we all look at Texas A&M and think now? Hey, where's that game this year? No, but Texas? Eh, whatever. Aggies? Oh, we got to go out there. And even for plenty of programs, oh, we have to play Texas A&M? Folks, first 100 and whatever 20 years. And because of joining the SEC, it lifts all ships, brother. That is a heck of a tide. All right, we talked to Mike Norvell up in Charlotte at ACC Media Days. Me and Dan talking to Mike Norvell, the Florida State head coach. Chuck Oliver Show continues live from Hoover, Alabama. Hyatt Winfrey, SEC Media Days 2021. Up the road, 85 North, Charlotte, North Carolina. It's ACC football kickoff. Pleased to be joined by the head man in Tallahassee, head coach of the FSU Seminoles. It is Mike Norvell. Coach, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Definitely appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, and I appreciate you carving out some time. I want to start with the construction of the team because I made a comment when you left Memphis, and I'd done Conference USA for about a decade, and so when they were still in that conference, and I said, you know, I know what it is at Memphis. You know, there's some kids looking for a fresh start or, you know, more playing time, whatever, and so Memphis has been one of those destinations. I was like, he's going to have to coach, you know, recruit completely differently at Florida State. And then the transfer portal happens, and I'm like, no, he can kind of recruit the same way he did at Memphis. Talk about this first year and just trying to get the turnover of talent to create the roster the way you want it to look.
No, we're continuing to build of you know, what our program's all about, and you know, last year we had, you know, the youngest team in all of college football. So you know, with the transfer portal, it's provided an opportunity to you know, bring in a little bit more experience, guys that were the absolute right fit for us and you know, our program. And you know, we've been able to add you know, some key pieces that I think are going to help us not only on the field but also, you know, what we're continuing to build there off the field. Just with the mindset and the overall culture that we're establishing here in Tallahassee.
One of those transfers, Mackenzie Milton, and another transfer, other quarterback as well. Talk about if we will see Travis and Mackenzie on the field at the same time.
Well, you know, this is an offense that's you built for playmakers, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're going to put our guys in the best position to go out there and showcase all that they can do. And you know, those are two dynamic young men. You know, they've done a great job in continuing to grow and develop, and it's been wonderful seeing McKenzie and just how he's you know been able to come back from such a devastating injury there a few years back. But you know, those guys are competing in all that they do, and you know, we're excited about you know, what both of them bring here to Florida State.
Jordan Travis was described by someone who covered this. Is just, you know, media guy, covers the team last year. He said, I think Jordan Travis may be the best open field runner on the Florida State roster. And I was like, okay, that's high praise. Talk about that element of his game.
You know, like I said, he's dynamic. He is a dynamic playmaker. You know, he does special things with the ball in his hand. You know, was unfortunate there last year. You know, due to injury, he was forced to miss a couple of contests. But you know, we're excited about what he's been able to do this offseason and just his overall growth. Not only as knowing what he can do with the ball in his hands, but also just him in the passing game and the consistency of his operation and just the confidence that he's shown in what he's being asked to do. And you'll think he's got an extremely bright future ahead of him.
You know, and he's one of those guys, again, we were talking about the transfer portal. He's from West Palm. I think it's this huge advantage for you potentially because what I've seen, no matter where the kid is from, a lot of them go away to college, it seems, and when the portal hit, they're like, I want to go back to my home state for my final go-round. Brother, that's a built-in advantage for anybody who coaches in Florida.
Oh, no question. I mean, the state of Florida is the most talent-rich state in the country, and to be able to start building those relationships with the high school coaches, and obviously what we get to represent in here at Florida State. I mean, it is a special opportunity, and we're looking for the best and the brightest that fit our program and what we're trying to continue to build, whether it's the high school ranks, in certain situations, through the transfer portal, but it's definitely an exciting time, and we're definitely looking forward to what we've been able to do here in the short term, and what we're going to be able to do here in the near future.
We're wrapping up with FSU head coach Mike Norvell, and well, coach, you look at a couple of athletic quarterbacks as well as Jayshon Corbin in the running back room, Toa Feely, of course, the transfer from Auburn, DJ Williams coming in, three good tailbacks, an offensive line that is improving, and coming off a season where the run game was the best part of the offense some Saturdays. What's the temptation to line up and just kind of beat on people while maybe McKenzie Milton or Travis kind of get back to their normal selves?
Yeah, that's a group that we're definitely excited about, and Chuck started mentioning about the running backs that are returning. You know, guys like Jayshon Corbin, Lawrence Toa Feely, that were dynamic players. You know, I think both averaged over 6 yards per carry, and that was something that we needed to get established last year, but we feel like we can really build upon that here moving forward. You know, guys like Trayshawn Ward and DJ Williams, a transfer from Auburn that's come in. I mean, we got a great group, and definitely excited about what we think that group's going to be able to do for us here moving forward.
And what does it say about McKenzie Milton, a guy who has just transferred to the program, has not taken a live snap in the game yet, but he is a guy that you identified as someone you wanted to bring to ACC Media Days with you?
Yeah, I mean, it's the buy-in that he's been able to bring. When I brought him here, I didn't promise him anything other than an opportunity, and he's done a great job of making an impact, investing into his teammates. You know, the work that he puts in, how he prepares. He is definitely a leader on this team, and I'm honored for the opportunity to coach him.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Media has voted. And there is silliness coming out of the Southeastern Conference. We'll have the ACC vote as well. We've been playing interviews from head coaches and players and everything. We got Sam Howell, and, I mean, we got Mackenzie Milton. Just so many great interviews still to come. But the SEC vote has been released, and I was part of that crew. South Carolina got one vote for the division, one vote for the entire conference. I would like that individual to call me. I would like some insight. Clearly, there's items I missed. If you care about preseason, and I do, it's just a general indication, Matt Corral was the first-team quarterback. JT Daniels was the second-team quarterback, and that was just the slightest bit of intrigue, only because the wonder was if Bryce Young would make any of those teams. And Bryce Young did not make – if Bryce Young would make either the first or second team ahead of Daniels or Corral. I always thought Corral would be the first-team quarterback because he's got more of the resume. He did it for the full season, and he actually played before that. I was thinking JT Daniels was going to be the pick because, well, we've seen him, like, at all with a start and full games, et cetera. And let's be honest, he also played in the 2000 – what was it, the 19 season? No, the 18 season, way back. So he's done it, man. It's not just that Bryce Young, well, he's not first team, second team, so he'll be third team. The surprise to me, that was the first surprise that neither of those upsets happened, but he wasn't third team either. It was Bo Nix. And I don't know if it was, maybe it was just the visual reinforcement of Bo walking around media days. There is a possibility, though. He's a talented, way talented. Great skills, good coaching, good players around him. I think the best running back in the league, Tank Biggs, that's pretty good corner to fight out of. And again, and he's talented. I was talking to a quarterback coach. This is about 10 years ago. Guy in the NFL, actually. And he said, you know, the thing about bad experience for a quarterback is still experience. Even bad experience helps a quarterback. And so that's what Bo Nix has had some of. Good experience, bad experience, et cetera. All right, we talked to Kirby Smart. Did that earlier in the week at SEC Media Days. Want to bring that to you with the Georgia head coach talking about, I asked him a lot about individual players on offense, defense, N'Kobe Dean, et cetera. Here is Kirby Smart. Welcome back to SEC Media Days 2021. Chuck Oliver Show here live all week, also in Charlotte. ACC Media Days beginning tomorrow and Thursday. Honored to sit down with the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. It is Kirby Smart. Coach, how are you enjoying your media days?
Doing great, man. I'm at the very end. I'm on the caboose end. I am 5-10 minutes from cutting out of here to get back to Athens.
Well, we're glad that you made some time for us. And I want to start with the transfer portal because you're kind of a transfer portal OG.
I don't know about that.
You were doing back in 2006 and Mo Smith and the whole thing. Talk about just the different – everything you were saying swimming upstream – literally 5 minutes ago. Now it's what everybody does as far as, you know, players transferring, even within conference.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't know where it's headed. I just know that there's going to be a greater gap between the haves and have-nots. You know, the teams that are at the top echelon are going to always have the best opportunity because the first time a kid goes in a portal, he wants an opportunity to go play at a bigger and brighter place, and you're going to get good players. And you're going to have players leave your program, but they're usually leaving because they're not playing. So there's going to swap there. Unfortunately, the part that's going to get affected the most is the high school athlete who doesn't get an opportunity, because for every kid we lose in game one, that's two spots, and for one kid. So when I burn two spots on one kid, at least one less spot for an opportunity for a young player in the state of Georgia high school football that I want to be able to reward those guys.
And I want to ask you about that, and I'm not going to ask you to comment on another program or anything, but I had noticed like Florida State, Florida, et cetera. I mean, that's as good as recruiting as anywhere, Georgia, Texas, whatever. When you start bringing in 9, 10, 11 recruits, that, I mean, just by pure minutes spent on campus, you don't further the relationships with high school coaches and programs. I wonder about that, but I don't have to deal with it because I'm not a head coach. That has to be a concern to make sure we keep furthering those relationships, even though you're hitting the portal.
Yeah, the relationship with the high school coaches is tougher and tougher because they have less and less impact on the kids because their kids are in a portal. Their kids come and go. You know, high school players are transient. I mean, I'll bet you over half the kids we sign now have been to one or two high schools. Sometimes they go to three. So the high school coach's relationship is not as critical now as the kid, the parent, whoever the mentor is. And that's unfortunate because my dad's a high school coach, and I value that. And I value their opinion about a kid because most of the time the most honest opinion you get is from their coach.
You had a lot of questions about JT Daniels' health last year and the offseason, and so far I'm sure you got asked about the knee and whatever else. I want to ask about his skill set. Healthy and right and protected up front. I've never seen him play. Tell me about JT Daniels. You're telling somebody what this kid can do. What's his game at the best?
He's got a really good arm. He's got the ability to throw all parts of the field, meaning he can throw deep out cuts. A play action game is really good for JT because he can turn his back to the defense, set up in the pocket, throws a really good deep ball. He has great timing on that ball. So his throwing is his skill set. He's improved mobility-wise from his injury. Doesn't have his knee brace on. He's able to move a little more. He's playing with more confidence. So I think the fact that he's in year kind of two of Todd Monken's system, that helps him. But more than that, the people around him help him. So he's got a lot of weapons around him that we've got to utilize their skill set to give him a chance.
All right, another kid coming back from, I mean, it was clutch the pearls. Jermaine Burton's hurt. It's like, oh, no, he's going to be okay. Yeah. He's got that dog in him. And as a wide receiver, I mean, I watched Hines Ward in Athens for 4 years. I think he was the best quarterback for 4 years. He was the best receiver. I know he was the best blocker for 4 years. I see some of that in Jermaine Burton.
Yeah, Jermaine's a good player. He's really explosive, smart. Catches the ball naturally, and to come on as a freshman and be able to help the way he did, it was huge. We need him to grow and help kind of set an example for the other players and be a leader in that room, but you know, he's a talented guy, and the wideout is the position that you got to have nowadays to score points.
James Cook, it's always the same. Figure out a way. Just figure out a way. He can do a lot of stuff, and, boy, he looks like a fun player. Him at his best, integrated into the offense, what's that kind of look like?
Well, I think the day and age of the old ground and pound back, it just doesn't exist. So when you look at James and these guys that are playing in the NFL, out of the backfield, he's a good receiver. He catches the ball. He can make run after the catch. So finding ways to get him the ball. But, you know, every player on offense has to take on a little bit of a unselfish role and say, what can I do without the ball? So we're challenging James to be like, okay, when you don't have the ball, can you pass protect? Can you go block for a guy on a screen? Can you make some plays without the ball? Because every player on the team wants the ball.
Flip it around to a defense, specifically secondary, something you know a little bit about. And I was watching, like, my own eyes, a talent vacuum out of Athens. NFL, transfer, grad school, whatever it is, I'm not playing anymore. I think there's as much talent on the roster as there was last year, but secondary is different. I've said this all the time. Secondary and O-line, it's about everybody playing together. One breakdown, whole thing goes sideways. Yep. Talk about really talented guys coming in, but they got to play together for a while.
Yeah, we had a lot of experience go out the door, not just talent. We had four DBs drafted, okay, and a fifth that probably could have been drafted in DJ Daniel that was a free agent. So five guys that are gone, that's hard to replace just the sheer volume. And we've got talented guys. Keely Ringo's a talented guy. Jalen Kimber, DK, Lewis, Chris Smith. I mean, there's going to be some battles. Amir Speed, there's going to be some good battles in all those battles. But can we have the continuity, the same page, the communication, that's going to be really important. And we may have to play a little different. You know, we're not going to play the same exact style. We had two of the longest, fastest corners to ever come out of a draft in the same draft. I may coach my whole life and never have that. But we've got some guys with some good skill sets. It's our job to make sure we're putting them in a position to be successful and let the front seven work for them.
Last guy I want to ask you about, N'Kobe Dean. And I asked you about him earlier, a couple of years ago maybe, and I asked you about his speed because that's what everybody talks about. And you're like, it ain't his speed as much as his anticipation, his smarts. He's getting to the spot before the guard or, you know, yep, whoever. Talk about who he's grown into.
Very much the same way. You know, we did some testing, and he's not off the charts as a 40 guy, but he is off the charts with intangibles, intelligence, vocal leader, sets an example. I mean, he still, when a guy pulls, he sees it faster than anybody. He anticipates it. He can cover people. He's really good in short area, which at linebacker, that's good because you're in short area a lot, and you're not having to use long speed. But he's a talented guy that we expect to have a great year, and he's a really positive leader for us.
All right. The head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, Kirby Smart, certainly appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate
you.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
We will get with the ACC media vote, more interviews as well. Specific player interviews. You're a Florida State fan? We got Jermaine Johnson. We got Mackenzie Milton. We've already played Mike Norvell. Got a lot more interviews coming up. The SEC Media Days poll has been released. 134 votes. Georgia got 124 of them to win the East. Florida, Kentucky got two. I told you South Carolina got one. Somehow, Alabama, even more impressive, they got 130 of the votes. Single votes for A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, and somebody voted the Hogs. So that is someone's heart of hearts says, yeah, that's what we're doing today. Tell me about all the interviews we've had, and we've been playing some of them today. We played Nick Saban after we had recorded him on Wednesday. And so that's one of the greatest hits. That's one of the best of. But we recorded Brian Harsin yesterday after the program, brought that back to you. Sam Pittman, maybe my favorite interview of the entire week. Mike Norvell, as I said, right now. Again, Sam Pittman, maybe the best interview, best time I had all week. Want to hear? Want you to be able to hear the Arkansas head coach right here. 2021 SEC Media Days continues. Chuck Oliver Show joining you live from the Hyatt Winfrey in Hoover, Alabama. Pleased to be sitting down with the head hog, Arkansas coach Sam Pittman. Coach, how's your experience been here?
It's been great. You know, it's a long one. You know, I started my first interview at 7 o'clock this morning and all those things, but I'd rather have people want to talk to me than people that don't, you know. So it's been a lot of fun.
So last year, I'm turning on the SEC Network and I'm seeing, I think, an 11 a.m. kick. I was like, where's Felipe? Oh, K.J. Jefferson's going to start. So I'm going to tell you where my mind immediately went. I was like, dual threat quarterback, first start. I know what's coming. Primary's covered. I'm taking off. That wasn't it that day. Mm-mm. He stayed in the pocket and ran the offense. That had to be kind of heartwarming to you.
He really did. I'll be honest with you. We had been on the phone with a young man that had been went in the portal on the way up to the game on Friday. And then after the game on Saturday, going back home, I told Coach Browse, I said, call him, tell him we're not going to be able to take him because KJ had played so well, and that's a true story. And you know, his only start last year, I wish we'd have got him in more games, you know, but he did a heck of a job that day now.
And, you know, you talk about, you know, you get a tailback coming out of high school. He almost bounced everything outside, you know, because it worked on Friday.
Yeah.
Same thing for a dual-threat quarterback.
That's right.
That triggers, like, I'm going to take off because it worked on Friday. It seemed like he grasped, I'm in the SEC now. We got defensive ends that 260 can run 4-5. And so it's important for him. Talk about that part of the game, delivering the ball downfield from the pocket.
I think the most impressive thing about him that day was his pocket presence. And he would step up, he would step to a side, but he was always ready to throw the football. When that receiver came open, bam, bam, it was there. I'm not saying that some of those plays might not have been sacks with Felipe. He wasn't quite as fleet of foot as KJ is. The thing I love about KJ as well is that I think he can run the football, and I think Kendall will be able to throw his entire offense out there this year.
Let's talk about somebody who does run the football by description. That's Traylon Smith. And I got to tell you, I had a wrong impression about him, too. I was like, oh, is he a third down guy? Is he a scat back? No, he's just not as big as everybody, but he carried the load last year.
You know, when I was at Northern Illinois a long time ago, we had a kid named Garrett Wolf. and Garrett Wolf rushed for about 2,000 yards, close to it. Well, I know it's a MAC. I get it. I understand it. But still a lot of yards. And I remember going on fourth down. I remember Coach Novak coming over and said, hey, we need to get a bigger back in there and this, that, and other. And the coordinator said that, well, hey, this is our best back, you know. And Coach said, oh, yeah, you're right, you know. And same thing with Traylon Smith. He's our best football player. If it's third and one, that's our best football running back. And we're going to give him the ball. I mean, he's tough. He understands leverage. And he's kind of a guy that is an Arkansas Razor. I mean, that's who he is. You know, when you put a statue out there, that's it. And
look it up in Webster's.
Really tough. That's right.
Well, let's talk about the other Traylon that size is not an issue, Traylon Burks. And I have told people, I said, he can be as impactful as any receiver in this conference. And people are like, what? If somebody's not real familiar with Traylon Burks, they haven't watched Arkansas the past couple seasons. Talk about that kid.
Big hands, big guy.
Big,
you know, he's a big guy. He's a country kid from Warren, Arkansas. He hunts and kills Razorbacks. I mean, that's what he does. And he's a big hunter. But he got 5X gloves. I mean, he's big, big hand. Very intelligent. Last year, he just wasn't in good enough shape. I mean, he had a great year and all those things, but he's really concentrating on getting in shape this year, and I look for him to have an outstanding year.
All right, let me ask you about that, because not just Traylon necessarily, but I've always said wide receivers and DBs, if you get people in a spat on the field and there's personal fouls, that's the ego position, you know,
that's right.
The drama position. How do you get such a young player at that spot to kind of look at himself in the mirror and say, yeah, I posted numbers, but I didn't have a great season?
Because he's smart. I mean, he has no ego. I mean, you've met kids that caught four passes and a touchdown, and they're the baddest thing since sliced bread.
Oh, did we win?
Yeah, that's right. When did you do it? In the fourth quarter when your team's down 20? Burks isn't that way. Burks, he just wants to get better. He wants to play. He loves to play the game. He loves Arkansas. I'm not for sure he even visited any other school, so he doesn't have this ego. And when your better players don't have egos, then you're probably going to have a pretty good football team.
Wrapping up with Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman, Chuck Oliver Show coming to you live from the Hyatt Winfrey Hoover, Alabama. SEC Media Days 2021. Let's flip it over to defense. Grant Morgan and Bumper Poole. Turns out, keep the offensive linemen off of them, they can kind of rack up some tackles.
I think we're going to be better up in front of them. And so I think we're going to be able to keep them off of them. But Bumps looked really good. Hayden Henry's looked really good. Grant certainly coming back is huge for us. I think he can move up the draft board with more weight, more physicality. And when he hits somebody, they move backwards. And we're going to put him on a special team as well. We're going to try to enhance his value in the NFL. But, you know, he's a captain. He's already graduated, already got his master's. I mean, the kid's phenomenal. And what he had one way, he would run behind blocks and make tackles. And we're trying to get him to blow up the blocker.
I saw that one time. I was like, you got to cross his face.
Yep.
And I was like, well, oh, wait a minute. He still made the tackle. It's one of those where like, all right, it worked out, but that's not how you do it.
Yeah, well, but it'll kill you. You know, if you don't make the tackle, you've opened up two or three gaps. And we wanted in his arsenal where he could take on an offensive lineman, shed him, and make a play. We've worked on that because, you know, it's like a pitcher. You have a fastball, you have a curve, whatever it is. I'm going to run behind you. And it was successful for him for the most part. Now let's give him something else in his tool belt, and I think that's going to help him tremendously.
Last thing I want to ask you about, is, I mean, you've got tenure there. You know what about that fan base, and tell me what you want for them, because it was a rough stretch for a couple of seasons.
I want to be proud. I want to be happy. I don't want them to fake Sunday morning going, well, we played hard, but we lost. You know, I don't want any of that. I want to bring wins to the state of Arkansas. I want on Sunday morning they go to church and they talk a little noise, you know, at church.
Everybody,
you know,
wearing a red tie.
You bet. The offering place got a little bit more money in it. Everybody's feeling good about it, and that's what I want. Not for me. None of that for me. I want it all for the people, our players, our coaches, and the state of Arkansas, and I mean that with all my heart.
Coach Sam Pittman, Arkansas Razorbacks. Appreciate your time, brother.
Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I believe in both of those guys. Max and Miles are both championship quarterbacks. They both proved that they could win at LSU. It's too bad, you know, quarterback position, you played it in one place. That's the best man win.
Going all the way back to day one SEC Media Days, LSU head coach Ed Orgeron talking about his two quarterbacks, and I agree with him. There are two right answers there. I always go with the older guy just as a default, and then, all right, now tell me some specifics. Like, are all things equal? Well, one's a fourth-year or fifth-year guy. One's going into a second season. Okay, well, start with this other guy, the old man. Talk with a guy, you know, who can buy a drink, who can almost rent a car. Let me talk about that guy first. That's just a default setting. Doesn't mean it can't be the opposite. I mean, I've told you about Jalen Milroe and how suddenly he's going to be on the radar, even though Alabama starter is going to be a redshirt freshman. You got a true freshman kid out of Texas that could figure into the mix in a very limited way at some point. That's all that is. University of Miami has dismissed freshman safety Avante Williams. I told you about this, I believe, on I think it was yesterday, actually. Yeah, because I was thinking it was the day before when Manny had been in Charlotte that the news had come out, the arrest. It had just happened, and it certainly wasn't anything about, well, let's distract everybody and then get out of town before, let's time this. It wasn't that at all. It just happened to fall with him either being there just after, before the news broke and everybody got the news. He got arrested, and it was for some particularly brutal accusations to his ex-girlfriend, who is carrying their unborn child, 31 weeks, I believe. And so it's some really unsavory stuff. And I gave you the initial story about him getting arrested for battery on her. And I said, so that's the story as it is now. He's been suspended, but he's not going to play for Miami. And now Miami has made that official. A better feeling far upstate in Gainesville, was able to sit down with Dan Mullen, head coach of the UF Gators. SEC Media Days 2021 live at the Hyatt Winfrey, Hoover, Alabama. Chuck Oliver Show, 9 states, 51 sticks. Digging it out 2 hours a day, and we're pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Florida Gators. It is Dan Mullen. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you guys? You excited? This kind of the excitement, a little feel of maybe the first normalcy for everybody maybe in a little while getting back here. And I know they don't have the fans in here today with the craziness that way, but it's pretty cool.
Do you miss any of the circus? You know,
I don't mind
the stuff
that
in the lobby.
You know,
and
none of that. I love the excitement and the passion of college football. So I think it's kind of crazy, but I love the excitement and energy and passion of college football. So that never bothered me. So I don't know that I miss it. Because I'd always stop and sign autographs, and you almost always would feel, instead of like the 30 you signed, everybody's grateful, it's the 100 you didn't, that they're looking at you like, you SOB, you know, like
the plane's leaving, we gotta go, I gotta go now.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about on the field this year, and I think maybe just by chance I've seen every snap Emory has taken in a game. You've seen in a game, practice, yeah, off season, all that stuff. How relevant is what we saw him doing in games to what he'll be asked to do this year?
It'll be similar, maybe even more. You know, I mean, obviously he's going to be more because he's now, if he's the guy. But you're looking at a guy now that, the only stat that he does not have the big number on is starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's got a lot of attempts, completions, yards, touchdowns, carries, rushing yards, touchdowns. Played in he's played in 3 Florida Georgia games already. And none of them have had a cleanup time minute, in those years that we've really been in it, and he's played in 3. So he has that experience. He's been in big moments. He's played in a lot of big games. He's come in there with packages and come in and had to run the offense on his own because of injuries. So I think it's, for a guy that hasn't played a lot or not started, he's a veteran guy.
And I wanted to ask you about one situation in particular because of what you just said there. I think it was maybe the Auburn game in 19. Is that when Kyle got hurt?
Got hurt and he had to come in.
I was like, my God, they tore his knee off. Emory was in, and it looked to me like you were like, we're rolling, man.
You can look at the philosophy and say, hey, our guys through 4 quarters, I like to keep them fresh. Through a season, I like to keep them healthy. And we roll guys through, and then it creates depth and experience on the roster. We were able to do that. Running back position a bunch last year. Now that's one where we're deep, where we have a bunch of guys back. So, hey, how do we put more than one running back on the field at a time? How do we teach somebody? You might see Naquan in a slot some and Malik Davis in the slot doing some of that stuff for us this year to utilize the players as best as possible. I've never been a, hey, this is our offense. That's all we ever do. How do we fit? We use about 60% of our offense mm-hmm. in a given year, and what fits that group and that team.
Wrapping up with Dan Mulligan, UF head coach at SEC Media Days 2021. DeMarcus Bowman, I think you gave everybody some news today. Was that news to you? He's eligible. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, under the new rule, I haven't figured it out, but under the new rule, he'd be eligible.
He gets the retroactive whatever, so he's in.
Yeah, it's the retros. That's my understanding of it. I never asked, but he's eligible.
I've been told he may be as fast as anybody on the roster, and
he's
that's
quick.
Something when you talk about UF.
One of the hard ones he dealt with, he got banged up a little bit in spring halfway through, so, he's still learning the system. But he's another guy we're going to find a way to get the ball in his hands. Give me good players, we'll find a way to put the ball in their hands, right? That's what we've, like everyone, I think the funny one is, if we had media days last year, everybody would be like, okay, you just sent 4 wide receivers to the NFL. How are you going to replace
I asked that question
these
for
4
3 months.
Receivers to the NFL? And then now this year is, okay, boy, you just sent 2 guys, 2 first round, a tight end first round, a right receiver first round, and a quarterback second round. How are you going to replace them? But the same way, we've rotated those guys. So there's guys that have experience. Now, I never ask somebody to be – we'll be different. We're not going to have a – everyone's like, boy, your tight end's going to be like Kyle Pitts. Well, in 150 years of college football, there's been like one. You know what I mean? He's the highest-ranked guy in the history of college football. So I don't – there's the one. So, but we're – the funny one is if you combine – Keon Zipper and Kamori Gamble's stats from last year, they probably were second in the SEC behind Kyle Pitts' number. So we'll still utilize those guys a little differently.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you making some time today. I know you're
Absolutely.
Busy. Thanks for stopping by, brother.
Good to see y'all. Have a great day.
Dan Mullen, head coach of the Gators. He was in Hoover, Alabama earlier in the week. I believe he was a Tuesday interview. And, again, one of those that came through a little later in the day, so we bring it to you the next day. Played that on Wednesday. Wanted to bring it back as part of the best of as we wrapped up our coverage, again, from both spots. Again, we'll be going over the ACC media poll as we get into it next week. SEC preseason media poll released earlier today by the Southeastern Conference. And I had told you the winners of each division as predicted, and overwhelmingly Georgia, 124 out of 134 votes in the East. Bama, even more distance, 130 out of the 134 first-place votes in the West. The predicted finish, Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. A little love for Kentucky, and it's not improperly placed to be more impressed every season, it looks like, with Mark Stoops in that program. That's out over their skis a little bit. Whoever voted them to win the East Division, the 2 individuals with votes. In the West, if you want the predicted order of finish, Alabama, 130 first-place votes. Second place, Texas A&M, got 1 first-place vote. There's supposed to be some sort of closer gap there. If you want to see dominance, for instance, I'll give you just like a random example. Go look at the 1978 American League Cy Young vote. I'll get you out of nowhere. Ron Gidgey had a tremendous year, and he finishes first, and he wins this American League Cy Young. A guy named Mike Caldwell pitching for the Brewers. unbelievable season. And like 22 complete games, great ERA. He finished second in the Cy Young voting. He got no first place votes. Ron Guidry, 25-3 with an ERA under 2, got all of them. And so when you finish second, but you're not, you may as well have been 50th. This is closer on the field, but you had to make a decision here. Under, when you vote for this, it's not on a curve. It's not a grade. It's pass-fail. We get one vote to win the division. So I think A&M could do it, but if I have to vote for one, it's Bama. Well, 130 people decided that. And I promise you, the 130 who voted for Alabama, I was one of them. 130 who voted for Alabama, I can promise you 115 of them, 120, considered A&M, but you know what? That Bama defense, and I'm like all the running backs and what Bryce Young, Alabama's my choice, but boy, it's close. Well, it's not close when all the votes are added together. A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, then Auburn. I hear a lot. You think Auburn fans like 8 wins, 9 wins, that's a good first year? Yes, I think that would be a great first year. And then Arkansas and Mississippi State. There was one more thing that I wanted to mention just to put a bow on this entire week. And it was a compliment that I received yesterday. And I'm telling you, it was a compliment. I bet 25 people sought me out yesterday morning to say, Chuck, you were right. And I think it means I really missed out. Wednesday night, I went to Gabriel's Cafe. Not nearly as cosmopolitan as it sounds. Like your first step in, it's that wooden bar floor. It's that sticky, like you don't want the lights turned up too much. But I got to tell you, it's a fun place, man. Gabriel's is fun. I had 2 beers, and I was going to sing karaoke, share, just like Jesse James. However, after an hour and my second beer, I walked up to the DJ, and I was like, how soon am I going to? He's like, oh, you're about 11 down. I was like, brother, I got to go. I properly gauged at like 11:30 and with 2 beers. If I leave right now, I know I could still get Eli Drinkwitz in the morning because he's supposed to be there at like 8. I left Gabriel's, and I was being shouted at. I mean, it's everything but like a, like throwing fruit at the vaudeville performer. I was a discard. Walked to the interview. Eli was sitting down at our table. Yesterday morning, Barrett Salee. If you, 20 people. Dude, you were so right to leave. Oh, my gosh. And then the details of the debauchery and how it was just an awful, terrible morning and they were late for this and outright missed that. Isn't what that actually means that I missed the best night of the entire trip? If you saw them coming back early yesterday morning at like 3, they would have sworn it was the best night ever. 6 hours later, everybody hated it. Wraps it up for the week, folks. Be back on Monday.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.